Number 41. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, a science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's tale is a dark and spooky one, and it's called Crossroads Hotel. It was past midnight, and the two of them scrambled through the darkness of the Pando Forest. It was her idea to camp out, but he had agreed enthusiastically. Perhaps now they'd regretted their impetuous departure, ill-prepared as they were for the fright of the night. The curious squalls of wind, the distant chattering, and the suppressed sense of ill will in a night of dim and hazy moonshine. A shadow flicked across the edges of her mind, as though something had tried to read her. Jasmine's eyes skirted towards the trees ahead, unable to see further than the nearest silver barks of the shaking aspens. She and Cody had agreed to preserve their phone batteries several hours ago, but now she worried they would never find a safe place to hunker down. Jazz, why did I goad him into this? She asked herself, wondering if her simple test of loyalty was so obviously an adolescent insecurity. Of course, what she really worried about was if Cody had planned this and made it her suggestion. He had a curious ability to do that. Somehow she found herself doing things, so many things, she didn't want to do. But it seemed she had suggested them, and Cody would always agree, readily. They squeezed through a dense outcrop. Cody turned his head briefly and said, "You know, all these trees are just parts of a single organism under the ground, like a giant creature in the belly of the land." His lyrical Irish inflected tones skipped over the shiver in Jazz's face. "And it's ancient too. Some people say it's thousands of years old." His voice fell cold across the air and settled into Jazz's anxiety. "I need to rest soon," she spoke out, trying not to convey her fears. Another shadow flickered just out of view. "Did you see that?" she whispered, more to herself than Cody, who seemed oblivious. "Me too. I'm sure we'll find a spot soon." Their faces were quite close as they stumbled through the trees. Jazz wasn't quite sure what she saw pass across Cody's handsome face, but she didn't like it. "Oh!" He had surged ahead just at that moment and came to a halt, Jazz falling into his back. Two paths had opened up in front of them, and at the intersection was a building, or at least a door made visible by its old-fashioned lantern. "Welcome, weary traveller. How creepy is that?" Cody looked back at Jazz, who pushed his shoulders out of the way. "Do you think it's safe?" "Geez, I don't know. But you're tired and I am too, so let's see." They stepped from the trees and made the few short strides to the door, which opened as they approached. A figure emerged, slowly, partially.
"Welcome, indeed."
The deep voice drifted around the newcomers, a warm embrace. The voice emerged from a tall, slender shape just inside the door, a voice that wore a dark red waistcoat decked with gold flecks, a hat, and round, gold-rimmed glasses. Jazz tried not to stare at the vague presence of the face, instead smiled unsteadily, comforted at least by the presence of Cody, who seemed reluctant to enter.
"I'm the maitre d', and it's always a pleasure to rescue weary travellers at this late hour. You must be famished. Do come in. You may stay for the rest of the night, and you'll be on your way by the morning."
His face was obscured still by the shadows of the inner porch, but the room beyond was an orange glow of firelight. Within a moment they had passed through and swung their rucksacks to the floor and looked around the room to find it full of chairs, mostly occupied by other weary folk. "Where did they all come from? I didn't see anyone else in the forest." Jazz peered at Cody. He seemed concerned too and grunted, gesturing to a couple of empty stools at the bar. As they sat, they noticed a tray with drinks and a little sign, indicating they could drink as much as they would like.
"I think we should find out how much we'll need to pay if we stay."
"If we stay?" Cody looked up.
"Okay, so we're going to stay, but I still think we should find out. Whoever owns this place is either very generous, or they have a captive market."
She laughed quietly and wondered at the occupants of the chair nearby. Nobody seemed to talk, but there was a general air of conviviality. Quiet murmur of chatter.
"Are you okay, Cody?"
Yeah, just tired. They poured themselves a couple of beers
and watched curiously as more travellers occasionally drifted in.
No one leaves. A little later, Cody spoke up from his second beer.
What do you mean? We've not been here long. Who's going to leave at this time of night?
Jazz slid from the stool and walked to the entrance to speak to the maitre d'.
Excuse me, sir. Where can we find some information about staying the night?
The initial response seemed to be a gentle rustle of clothing.
You should not worry about such things. All who enter here are known and will pay according to their circumstance. A lost soul such as yourself shall pass through without much to worry about, I think.
Thank you, but I fear we should pay or do something.
Well, you could leave something of value to you. Something small, just a token.
Jazz weighed the words.
It's not a requirement, of course.
Jazz bowed her head slightly and drifted back to Cody, who had now accumulated a fifth empty bottle of beer. She attempted a conversation with him, knowing this might now be difficult.
I'm going to leave some cash and something else.
She explained her reasons, but could see Cody's eyes had lost interest, and they sought across the room to another distraction.
Sorry, did you... Cody feigned interest in Jazz's explanation of the maitre d's comments.
She sighed, delved into her rucksack, finding a handful of bills. She picked up her book too. It was precious to her, but she had nothing else to leave. A copy of Catcher in the Rye. She had many other editions. She loved the book so much, and this one could be replaced if necessary. That's why she carried it with her when she was away from home, she persuaded herself. She placed the book and the money, tucked inside, onto the tray.
I'm not sure there are any actual rooms here, but that long couch looks really comfortable. Let's use it.
She raised her eyebrows at Cody's lack of attention. Look, I'm tired. I'm going over there to sleep. Join me when you're ready. She frowned. Concerned now, but feeling safe in this weird dream hotel, she wandered over to the couch. It didn't take long to sleep. As she did so, she smiled at the sensation of Cody snuggling up to her, whispering a half-hearted apology. They both woke up, screaming. Jasmine was wrenched from dreams of fire and darkness to find herself stretched out on the forest floor in a glade, staring up at the bright blue sky, gentle winds pricking at the pores of her cheeks, the outlines of a wide smile drifting in the clouds. She felt a cross for Cody. She found an impression in the ground, but he was not there. Cody woke, eyes wide, wrenched from dreams of warm rooms and blinding sunlight, but above him was a vast stomach of darkness that fell towards him. His screams rose and his eyes burst from his face as he found himself wreathed in flames, his flesh repairing and burning over and over, his chest heaving with smoke, and a tall, slender figure leaning over him with a gold-button waistcoat afire, his mouth open with sarcastic laughter.
Welcome to the dark creature of the forest, demon. The gift of yourself is gratefully accepted. A tree root shall grow through you, and the forest will live on by the sacrifice of your wretched soul.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please add some stars and some reviews or recommend it to your friends. See you next week. It's Jake Jackson saying goodbye.